SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour three, and a rare hour that starts on the hour. It used to be we were locked in stone. We had to start within 2 minutes on either side of the hour. Now we're fluid. Hammer joining us, and the weekend it feels, Hammer, like kind of just treading water toward the Derby Oaks and the official start of Triple Crown. The 5 week odyssey, meanwhile, you came back to the racing yesterday, and there's a carryover today. So business marches forward at Santa Anita. Where are you, Rick? Case, what happened? No. Yes. I can. I can hear a little something in the background. Hammer. Pick up on him, Casey, and see what's going on. So, all right, Casey's going to pick up. And quick reminder today, with Keeneland wrapping up the Bewitch, you've got the grade three. They're going to go a mile and a half. And some pretty nice familiar names in here. Daddy's Little Darlin' is 3-5. But Roger Atfield's got a first-time North America a multiplex mare. There's a little bit of an obscure stallion. Icky Masho is the name, and Florence Giroux aboard. So a little bit of an unknown quantity. She's been running at places like Chelmsford. She did run in DeVille. Group of seven to close out Keeneland, and mile and 3/16, the last race of the meet. It's been after the bad, cold, nasty weather to start the season at Keeneland. Things moderated, and they've had a good, talking to Ben Huffman the other day, and they've had a good season. Hammer's with us. There we go. I can hear you this time.
Hello.
Better.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you good.
Okay. Weird. My regular setup's not working. That's what happened. So I'm back to the old regular phone.
Sound good.
And if I was there, I wouldn't have to worry about it, which I should be there.
I wish you were here. No, you're not coming.
Very bummed out.
All right.
But, first thing that comes to my mind today, and I always write down a couple notes, very few, because I never know what we're going to talk about. How about those Cleveland Browns? I'm telling you.
They might never have disappoint.
You and me. They might as well have taken you and me. I mean, come on. How do you blow the draft as bad as they did? Anyway, it's just hilarious.
It's funny you say this, because Doug Salvatore is going to be with us next. And you know, Doug lives in Erie, and he's a huge Browns fan. And he
might not be with you next after that.
Well, he said he was going to be suicidal. He said anybody but Mayfield, anybody. And lo and behold.
Then they get a defensive back that they could have gotten the second round. Anyway, it's just hilarious. It's hilarious. So some things never change. But
no.
Anyway, and some things never change for you. Hey, before we go, I wanted to mention, I know I mentioned it to you, but I want to mention it. You probably mentioned it during the week, but that nice article that Lenny Shulman wrote about you and your show and your history, and in this editions of the Blood Horse magazine. Real good story. And I was flipping through it yesterday, and wow, I said, well, I know that guy. And, but anyone that I assume that story's online somewhere in their.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it's just in the magazine. Yeah.
It's in the magazine. Well, we'll see if we can get it online. But just a great story about your history and how you came and how you became to sit behind the mic from other things going on in your life earlier, and how you've just taken this show from a you know, from a two tin cans and a string and turned it into just a national must listen to show. So anyway, it was very good. Lenny does a great job on about everything he does, but he really stepped it up for
thank
that
you.
One. But,
right. I appreciate you.
That's the real deal for sure.
Well, I was kind of humbled and certainly touched that Lenny took an interest to do it when he mentioned it earlier in the winter. I kind of laughed and I thought, oh, nothing will come of this. And then he followed up. So,
well, sometimes those things are long overdue, but then on the other time, sometimes it's worth the wait. So he got a little bit of a longer story in there, a little bit for people that don't know much about your background or where you came from and how you ended up there. And I think it played real well.
Thank you. Well, everybody gets on the racetrack one way or the other, and everybody's welcome. That's one of the best parts about the racetrack.
Yeah, that's not a fact. They don't care who you are, where you came from. If you can prove yourself in some facet, you're in.
Well, looking at what's been going on.
Both of us are living proof of that.
There you go, exactly. Rick, we had Quigley yesterday. We did a quick survey of last weekend, and then we'll talk about this weekend. But you got a bit of a unique circumstance, and I think people are taking further note that Bob Baffert did something he hasn't done historically with his Derby Oaks runners, and that is stay home and come in more late on the scene. And having him there, kind of a different scenario.
You know, he plays, anyone who's been around him or knows how what he does, he is a bit unpredictable. And whether it was just a feel, wanted to be closer to the horse, was to have his last work here, whether we were as worried about the weather that could possibly, turn up there and interfere with his timing. Who knows what it is, but when he changes plans, it's usually a good thing. Sometimes when other people change their plans, it's more of a, not necessarily a panic move, but a, oh my gosh, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. When he changes plans, it's usually for a good reason. So he's staying here. I think his brigade leaves on Tuesday. Talked to Jimmy Barnes yesterday, and he said, I said, how many are you taking? He said, eight to ten to make a, for the 3-4 days out there. So they'll be, I think, Tuesday, right? Is that what you heard? I think Tuesday's the day that they get on the plane and head out there. But yeah, so you'll have to wait a little bit, but when they get there, they get there. He'll be back in that same barn. There was a 33, I forget the name of it or the number of it, but he'll be there. And I'll tell you, I have to talking all week, of course, about Derby and talking to people, and I had just have the weirdest feeling in this Derby. I mean, I look at the PPs. I don't even know why I'm looking at the PPs. I don't even know why we're running the race. I'm so calmly behind this horse justify that I can't even believe it. I was talking to Jimmy the other day. I go, I don't even feel bad about talking about it. I don't feel like I'm going to jinx anything. I mean, it's almost like it's in the cards. I mean, 1989, I mean, it's the last time that I knew who was going to win. I knew Sunday Science was going to win, but that was more adversarial, more up yours, you know, east, west, you know, we're horses better than yours. But I mean, I knew the horse was going to win. But you know, I was screaming it and yelling it and you know in your face type of deal. But I really thought he was going to win. But you know, I look back, I was a little bit, was like an angry kid back then, as the song says. I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. But I'm a little bit, you know, just kind of almost in like a little cloud here. Just justify horses, just you know, crazy. I mean, I took a picture of this horse in the paddock when he was a maiden. He hadn't even started yet, and I put it on Twitter. Who does that? You know what I mean? And, you know, when they, I was thinking about that. I was talking to Jimmy Ventura the other day about this. And then when they entered the mile on the day after the San Felipe, I mean, I didn't even know he was going in there. I mean, I tried to act cool, like, oh, yeah, I knew I was going in there. I had no idea. He was talking about the Sunland Derby, pulled the switch, put the horse in. I'm like, what horse? Justify, huh? The mile. Oh, this is great. So he switched there for the purposes of, you know, getting the timing better. And then even though he said he was going to go to Oakland, whatever, you know what? The horse is going to run the San Diego Derby no matter what. I mean, too bad McKenzie, you know, if that's the reason it took. But he was always going to run here. I was always going to see him run here in this race for some reason. He did, and he won. Of course, he won. It wasn't even a question. And I get the same feeling going into the Derby. It's the craziest thing. It's like, I mean, I see these other horses, and I'm trying to think, okay, is he going to finish third or fourth in the Super? So, I don't know. I'm so anxious to see this horse run and talked about, you know, maybe making a midnight flight out there to do it. But, no, I'm just going to calmly watch it where I watch the other races here at Santa Anita and see what happens. But so that's my Derby talk pick, and I don't see a whole lot changing my my mind. The only thing, there's only three words that will give me trepidation. Number one, justify. That'll only put a little bit more of a twister in there. But other than that, I feel very confident.
What else have we heard on the Philly front? Because it's been a little quiet regarding Midnight Bisou.
They're coming, I think, probably in the same trip as the horse, as all the other horses. And the Oaks in general is kind of quiet this year, isn't it?
You know, it's strange. As we were approaching, and I would say at Oaklawn, it felt, and the Ashland, it felt like, you know, we had the same kind of upbeat Oaks anticipation. And then, since I've been here, and I got here last Saturday, there's a lot of people that I talk to, like even Marty McGee, who covers the race, he'll write the article. He kind of shrugged and said, oh, it feels like it's not the greatest Oaks this year. And I was like, well, okay, I
mean, that's what
I've been getting excited. I
really?
But maybe it's because I've seen Bisou up close. That's contributing to my interest.
I'm excited about her. I think she's, you know, I mean, almost, she looks very tough in here. As I look down, you got the, you know, the Sandy Oaks winner, the Ashland winner, the Fantasy winner, the Gazelle winner, the Fairgrounds Oaks winner, the Gulfstream Oaks winner, you know, and the horses that finished second in most of those races, that's who's here. And all the horses that are supposed to be here, all the fillies are there, but it doesn't just, nothing really gets me too excited. I mean, Midnight Bijou, as we watch the R Oaks here, I mean, he's going to have something to run, she's going to have something to run at, and it's just going to make that move around the turn, and, you know, if that's the real move that we saw during the Santa Anita Oaks, I mean, see you later. So, you know, always anxious to see the Oaks and all, and the card for the Oaks Day, but usually I'd have a little bit more of a oomph for the Oaks, but it'll get there, like you said. We'll get there.
Agreed. Well, Rick, let's do this. Let's dive into what you've got going on. There's a carryover today, almost 50,000, and it's funny because when I talked to Quigley yesterday, and I said, well, what about today's card? And he said, I'm more interested in Friday, and then, sure enough, clock last night, carryover. So
yeah, it was wild.
Somebody blew the turn.
Thursday's card was too good for a Thursday, and then we got all the scratches. It's one of those, I think we had 10 scratches out of there, which kind of made it not so good of a card, and lo and behold, we got, a little bit of a carryover into today. We'll put a little knock on the wood here, and maybe we can pull the double into Saturday, but not a bad card for Friday as well. And the scratches are just being told up, and it's not too many here. It is a few out of the six, I'm being told. But I think just the AEs and the rest of the races, they'll be up on the website here in 15, 20 minutes. So you'll be able to get those. But that said, a few stakes over the weekend here, as you know. A little bit of a lull here as we kind of, everyone's waiting for next weekend. Saturday, we run a couple stakes at 2 6-horse fields. Didn't come up great to Santa Barbara. A distance race going a mile and a half for the fillies. Evo Campo ran in the San Juan Capistrano last week, so she's not here. And we got Richard Baltus with four of the six, which is pretty crazy. But sometimes they all come up. When you got them, you got to run them. And interestingly enough, one of the favorites in here, if not the favorite on the program, I'm not sure, will be Bob Baffert, Plein Air, new turf trainer. He's actually won 5, 6, 7 races on the turf this meet. And I was upset the other day when we didn't make one of his races on the turf. I was like, whoa, man, what's going on here? But anyway, plain air, plenty of speed. But there's plenty of speed in this race. With the three horses on the outside, will you know, maybe vie for the lead and set something up for one of the closers, Lucy D or Pants on Fire. So, you know, not too thrilling of a race with six of them, but you know, we'll take it and see what happens there. The next race, the Californian, that came up weaker than expected as well, as we it's kind of today. Just now? Oh, Ed Golden just handed me a note that I didn't know. Justify worked this morning, and looks like 7/8 and 25 and change, which we'll wrap that baby up, and he'll be ready to go. I didn't hear that. So thanks to Ed, who's always on the spot. Give me the old note here. So anyway, the California. Now, it was pointed out to me yesterday by Mr. Quigley that I guess the Lieutenant has the same dam as Justify. So there you go. Wasn't aware of that because I'm not a breeder aficionado, but there you go. Some kind of timing-wise might be all right. And this race came up a little dull. Dr. Dore won the Santana Mile. He's looking for his third straight. And if we want to kind of look for an off-the-wall trifecta, check out the breeders of Dr. Dore. Madeline Arbrock, Jack Klugman, and Bob Baffert. I mean, all three good people, but you never would put them together to breed a horse. But there you go, Dr. Dore. Should be the favorite, and you know, should be okay. Mile and eighth might be a little bit of a problem, but we'll probably see a couple of these back next month for the Gold Cup, with maybe Acceptance waiting in the wings, and maybe Opportunity and Pavel and. For our grade one mile and a quarter race later in the month. And then Sunday, the San Simeon, and there's eight of them. Interestingly enough, three fillies in here. Pretty wild. Don't see that too often. And Peter Miller, who wins a lot of races on his own, I mean on the dirt, sprinting, but I think he's really taken over as being king of the hill. Usually it's a horse, but the last few years it's been him. He's had a lot of success coming down the hill here, which you know, showed in the Breeders' Cup Sprint last year. And Conquest Tsunami looks very tough in here. He's got Belvoir Bay in here. He's also got Anatolian Heat. But Peter doesn't believe in that. You know, taking 6 months off when you come back from Dubai, he's just, you know, puts him back in. Conquest Tsunami's there, has shown, you know, loves to go right to the lead and you know, go on. So he'll be very tough in there. But 11 races on Saturday, 9 on Sunday, and after that we'll be getting pumped up about next week. We got another Derby veteran just walked by here, Alan Sherman, of California Chrome fame, just walked by and nodded in, and so he's I'm sure he's thinking now as soon as I mentioned that about 3 or 4 years ago when they were there with California
Absolutely.
Chrome.
So, absolutely,
it's all good.
Hammer, do your studying, survey who you need to, and we will get some selections from you next week. How are we going to – is Jimmy coming? How are we going to coordinate you and Jimmy?
No, Jimmy's not going to be there either. I mean, we it's really weird that we're not – we talked about. We have some stuff – actually, we got some family stuff that we both have to take care of, so it worked out that we didn't go, but – maybe we'll get him on the phone. It's not at 11:30, whatever, 11 o'clock. We'll get him on the phone. We'll do the trifecta phone call for sure.
All right. Very good.
So anyway, miss you, and but love the reports. It's a lot of great insights from everybody we've talked to, and it'll probably tighten up a little bit more as we go through the week and see some of the final drills. So keep it up. Wish I was there, and we'll talk next week.
I appreciate it. Rick Hammerly, everybody. Away they go on Twitter. And Hammer will be missed here. So I had to ask, because sometimes I'll walk into the paddock on Thursday even or Friday, and there he is, even though he said probably wasn't coming. He'd take a last second, the last flight out maybe, and maybe on Tex Sutton. They put him in a box stall and got him here a couple of times. So, but I guess not this year. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Doug Salvatore is going to join us, and Doug, you can hear firsthand from a living Brown fan just how agonizing last night was to wait all that time to wait up to the first pick of the draft and. To take the one guy that not one Brown fan wanted them to, but poor Doug. We'll head to the break. I do want to slip one more thing in. Second weekend of Woodbine and the first graded stake of the season, the Whimsical. And the Phillies and Mares, they're going to go 6 furlongs, and this field is certainly led by the wonderful Moonlit Promise and Moonlit Hillendale Farm, Hillendale bred the Malibu Moon 5-year-old, and she was last seen down at Gulfstream. It did not run great in the inside information, and freshened up a little bit since then and comes back at home. But this is a decent field. Nick Gonzalez has got Ivan Delos's Silent Sonnet as well, and Scotty's Model, not bad. Norm McKnight looks okay. Was down at Oaklawn competing in races like the American Beauty. She's an 8-year-old mare, Ontario bred, by Mr. Scotty. Let It Ride Mom for Mrs. Weber and Cassie. 6-1, the good Into Mischief. And she's been gone since the fall, last seen long on the grass at the end of the year. So nice group in the Whimsical. We'll take a break. Come back, and as we go to the break, I'll also mention Pink Lloyd last week again, who was named the Horse of the Year, the Sovereign Awards. Pink Lloyd, unbelievable, has been just Robert Tiller. We had a lot of fun with Tiller last year. I'm sure we'll talk to him again soon. Back after this, Doug Sada from Erie and Jay Privman to come as well this morning, Friday. A week away from the start of Oaks Derby 2018. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Right here, right now.
For your healthy
right
horse
here,
to reach its...
Right now, right here, right now, right here, right now.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
toward the bottom of the hour. And we're going to have Doug Salvatore as soon as Case connects with him. And while I've got a minute, let me get that OBS answer from, or the at least the OBS result. Actually, Doug is here, so we'll save the OBS from yesterday. And we're just happy that Doug picked up the phone, because it, after last night's brownie debacle, I can only tell you that as a lifelong Eagle fan, that knowing what happened for us, it can happen for you. So keep the faith.
Yeah, I wasn't a very big fan of last night's performance at the draft by the Browns. That's for sure, Steve. But like you said, the Eagles turned it around very impressively. So. We're cornering market on all the midges.
it is funny when you think about it. It's you know what? It's almost like horses, that you hear the negative buzz, and then you see people that for whatever reason they're compelled to go ahead and bet them. I guess that's the closest analogy.
Yeah, for sure, Steve. I mean, Baker Mayfield was obviously, I mean, he was a great college player, but, that scheme that he has, it's just, we've had so many come from, I call it Taco Tech, that Big 12 area, and, they were incredible running the spread offense in college. You get your, we had Colt McCoy first, and then Johnny Manziel, RG3, Brandon Weeden. They run the spread at Taco Tech. They light it up on the stat sheet, and then they come to Cleveland. They got to operate in a pro-style offense. It's always a disaster, but every new regime wants to give it a shot. So what can you do? Maybe it'll work this time.
That's all you can hope. To his credit, the kid has overcome obstacles at every step, and that's what he's got going for him. He's somebody that they said would never get, to the high college level. He was too small. He was too this, and he kept going forward. So,
absolutely incredible college player.
And we'll see where it goes from there. Well, it's great to connect with you. We haven't talked in way too long, and sometimes it takes Presque Isle Downs to wake us up, to get a hold of Doug. And you've got a tendency to go underground now and then too. Yeah, so it's great. It's great that you're back. And I made the suggestion to Ed DeRosa that Presque Isle Downs was acquired by Churchill. They were trying to get you. They bought you with Presque Isle.
Yeah, it was a package deal.
give us the update. You got the jock book, and what's going on?
Yeah, there's the track's open for training right now. We've got some horses coming in. Racing's starting a week early this year on May 14th. They're going with 4-day-a-week racing instead of the usual 5-day-a-week to start, so it's going to be a 21-week meet this year instead of a 20-week meet. So hopefully... hopefully they get bigger fields early is what the plan. They've got a new racing secretary, and we'll see how it goes.
Nice. And whose book are you handling?
We've got a deal Ayala right now, my guy Nate Vicker is coming back from injury. I just saw him today. Looks like Adil was a top five rider here last year, rode in New York, come recommended by Jose Ortiz. He's a very, very good jockey.
Nice. Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to, I think we're doing some coverage again of Presque Isle this year with Dick Powell. And so we'll look forward to it. And we always look forward to the way you approach any big race, any race, period. And, Doug, I made the suggestion for this first conversation. Obviously, we'll do something next week with final thoughts once there's the fields are assembled for the weekend. But I wanted you to identify who you think the limited, authentic win candidates are next Saturday.
Well, I think the key horse to the whole equation is actually a horse that's got almost no shot to win, in my opinion. But Promises Fulfilled, you know, he's the kind of horse in the Florida Derby. They went 21-4 in a two-turn race. They didn't rate him. My understanding, Dale Romans is going to run him in the Kentucky Derby. He's going to let him roll to the lead again. And I think that's going to make life very tough for Justify. Justify, to me, is hands down the best horse in the race. He is a horse that is worthy of all the hype he's getting. He's every bit as good as advertised, but I just don't, you know, let me go through his workouts here. I don't think he even worked. His first workout was October 19th. He breezed 3/8 at Keeneland. He wasn't up till a half mile, you know, December 10th at Los Alamitos. He finally went a half mile. Didn't have his first 5/8 work till Christmas. You know, his first three quarters work was in February. You know, just a monster, absolutely freakish superstar of a horse. But to get hooked early by a horse like Promises Fulfilled, 126 pounds, mile and a quarter, and he's going to have to run hard every step of the way. I really think, you know, Promises Fulfilled the key horse in here, because if he's not in the race, I confidently say that Justify is far, far, far and away the horse to beat. But really, with Promises Fulfilled, just really ensuring a hot pace, guaranteeing that Justify won't have a soft front end, and knowing that Justify is, you know, isn't the best gate horse. His first two races, he didn't break well from the gate. One was a four-horse field. Was his maiden four or five-horse field? I think it was a five-horse field, Steve. Yeah. He broke last in the race and just pulled his way up. I mean, he didn't break well in the maiden race. When they stretched him out to a mile, he didn't necessarily break well. So, I mean, there's some red flags. None of it have to do with his talent. I mean, he is... If you take Promises Fulfilled out of the race and, you know, no goofy scenario happens, like with, remember when they put the blinkers on Palace Malice and he just ran off early and collapsed the pace? But, you know, I'm probably going to, you gotta play against Justify. I think if Promises Fulfilled goes in this race and Dale Romans is, you know, talking about
he's going
to the lead, it's
gonna
be going to be a tall
and
pass.
He's going to go to the lead.
Yeah,
Interesting.
Justify is going to have to, you know, it's not going to be about talent. It's going to be about, you know, stamina, endurance, and bottom, and whether he has enough.
Well, we certainly are going to, obviously, you're certainly including Justify as a win candidate. Who can win this race?
Bold Doro, believe it or not. I mean, a lot of people are kind of over, I mean, Justify is a complete freak. If you take Justify out of the equation, Bold Doro, I believe, would be a deserving favorite for this race, a clear-cut deserving favorite. In the Santa Anita Derby, I thought Castellano judiciously rode Bold Doro. He didn't try to hook Justify early. He did what was in the best interest of the horse going forward. Let Justify have an uncontested lead. No pressure on him. Tried to move to him. Smith did a nice job of race riding. He kind of forced him inside. Bold Doro ran much better than people give him credit for in the Santa Anita Derby. And Bold Doro does not have to get better. He just has to maintain his level and hope, you know, Justify and Promises Fulfill. If they go head-to-head early and Bold Doro, you know, is stalking in fourth or fifth a couple lengths off, there's absolutely no reason why Bold Doro can't win the Kentucky Derby. Doesn't need to go forward to do it. All he needs is to, you know, Promises Fulfilled to do his dirty work.
So add Bold Doro, obviously. I agree. And other win candidates.
I got a kind of a sneaky one in Solomini. Solomini is a horse that I think with a change of tactics, and the owner certainly has given every indication, Ahmad Zayat on Twitter, that they're going to try that, you know, take Soleimani back. I think he's a horse that's got talent. You know, if he responds to the change of tactics, I think he's going to really, really surprise people. I like Soleimani, and he's a horse that could get overlooked and go off at 25, 30 to 1 odds. I mean, to me, he kind of, it's hard to put a finger on what type of horse he reminds me of, but he's a horse that is going to have a big shot in this race. If they go too fast up front, and you know, he benefits from you know being taken back a little. I think Soleimani is a horse that's going to surprise pretty much everyone in the race.
I'll completely concur that Soleimani is a horse that is going to be completely underappreciated in here, and what he does. And I talk about, you and I have discussed this, Doug, over the years. Horses that don't have a style that the public gravitates toward, whether it's a, you know, confirmed front runner or a deep closer, they don't understand necessarily that circumstances and race flow may have worked against a horse like Soleimani, and it can happen a number of times. But horses in this race, there's five quarter miles, and a horse can run 5 quarter miles of 24-2, 24-3 in that range, one paced. And that's 2 minutes and 2 seconds. And that'll win a lot of derbies.
It adds up. I mean, it added up for Giacomo. And I think Soleimani is a slightly more talented version of Giacomo. I mean, they're both grinding one pace styles. Now, Giacomo was a little bit more proven from off the pace. They're going to have to experiment with Soleimani a little, but if the experiment goes well, he's a horse that's really, I think, going to raise some people. He's going to surprise some people. He's a better horse than people think, Steve. And just like you said, I mean, it's you get these 7, 8, 9 horse fields in these prep races, and they're just not run like the Derby is. The Derby, you get a 20 horse field. They all got to carry 126 pounds. They're going further than they've ever gone. They're carrying more weight than they've ever had to carry. And the riders have to use the horses early to get position. I mean, I think that gets understated. And I think the crowd, I don't know if the crowd stirs them up any, maybe for one or two horses. The crowd could, you know, stir them up. And there are situations, too, where horses just unexpectedly, you know, show speed. I talked about Palace Malice, but with him there were blinkers being added. But
right.
I mean, he just went out and just set an absolutely scorching pace. But this race tends to produce a race shape that really, really favors grinders and closers. But the one thing that works against them is that, you know, they have to work out a trip, and that's very
exactly.
You know, that's tough to do. A lot of times that means having to come around a lot of horses. Burrell was, you know, brilliant at always, you know, finding a way through on the inside. I mean, if you can do that, that's you know, all the better. But if you go back and people want to focus on the horses that have won this race, focus on some of the horses that have run second and third in this race and were probably the 13th best horse, 14th best horse, 15th best horse in the race. I mean, there's some horses that have run second in this race in recent years. They aren't even competitive in allowance races in subsequent starts. And it's not because they declined as a horse. It's because they were just tailor-made for this race. You know, they drop back and, you know, just benefit from being the last one standing. I mean, all these horses are, there's a lot of, you know, horses that are just alpha horses. A horse like Noble Indy in a 7-8 horse field, just an alpha speed horse. But now Noble Indy's got to go in with Justify, with Mendelssohn, a horse that got a loose lead and won by 18 lengths. I mean, Bolt Dora, who's such a quality presser. It's a very tough circumstances for horses that are usually, you know, the alpha speed in a 7-8 horse field. Now they're in a 20 horse field. and there's four or five horses with the same exact style who are probably, you know, a little bit better than them in a lot of cases, and you get the added distance, the weight, all the factors, it really really makes a horse like My Boy Jack interesting. Maybe not so much as a win candidate, but My Boy Jack, if you had a gun to my head, and you know, if I had to give you one horse at double-digit odds who was going to be on the board, I wouldn't hesitate 1 second to say it's going to be My Boy Jack. He's going to make a gigantic move on the turn for DeSormo. He's going to basically pick off all the horses who get, you know, fried chasing. And I don't know if he's good enough to win, but he's going to be the horse that's, you know, at the top of the stretch is going to be looking live. And he'll finish. He's got some real hang to him, but he'll finish a lot better than people think. And I mean, there is your exotic key, My Boy Jack.
Well, on that topic, let's ping pong a couple of these as well. So far as win candidates, we've got Justify, Bolt Doro, and a sizable price as a win candidate in Solomini. On the exotic front, My Boy Jack, a legitimate exotic key potential, who among the exotic candidates that are being bandied about do you think are not worth including?
Well, I'll be shocked if Mendelsohn runs second or third. I mean, he's a horse that I think I know that he benefited from an extreme, I mean absolutely extreme, inside speed track in Dubai when he won the UAE Derby. Now, he won the UAE Derby like a freak. His entire, you know, tail female family is all, that is just pure dirt, you know, dirt pedigree. You got Beholder. He's obviously by a good grass sire and Scat Daddy, but I mean, look, Scat Daddy sire Justify. He gets runners on all surfaces. But Mendelsohn's kind of a horse that he's either going to be first or way up the track, in my opinion. That's not a horse to include underneath. Audible's a horse that, you know, he's Audible far more likely to be underneath on the ticket than to win. But Audible, I think, is going to be underlaid. Same thing with Magnum Moon. You know, Magnum Moon's a horse that's going to be underlaid. Now, Magnum Moon's a horse that I wouldn't put underneath on my tickets. I mean, to me, he's a horse that I give him a small chance to win if he takes a step forward. But he doesn't have the style. You know, he's going to be one of these horses that's going to be up to this, you know, up near this hot pace, and is going to, you know, pay a price for it, in my opinion. So Mendelsohn is a horse I want no part of underneath. Audible's a horse you got to use underneath. Magnum Moon, I'm going to completely toss Magnum Moon. There's a chance he can win and beat me. If he does, that's life in the big city. You know, but he's a horse I won't use underneath on my tickets. Good Magic is a horse that I'm kind of struggling with. I mean, I don't have a good read on him right now. Might use him defensively. Vino Ross is the kind of horse that you'd throw in underneath. But other than that, I mean, I don't think I'll be using, you know, maybe long shot like Pre-Drop Billy for third. He's the kind of horse with a stablemate in there setting a crazy pace who, you know, could pick up some pieces.
Well, Doug, good start, and we'll do a second part of this next week after we've got the field established. But in terms of your live exotics, Free Drop Billy, My Boy Jack, Mendelsohn either wins or is 14th.
Nowhere, yes.
Exactly. I'm not using them. I know some people are saying they'll let Justify beat them at the short price. I'll let Mendelsohn beat me at a short. I think he's got a lot more questions about pulling something off here than Justify does. I won't be stunned if he manages to, you know, to have a top performance, but I can't do it. I'm on the other direction. So we'll talk more, and it's great to connect.
Absolutely. I feel the same way, Stephen. We'll definitely have more clarity next time we talk and we see the field and everything. I know it sounds a little disjointed, but I'm excited about this betting race. I'm excited about you know, maybe getting my boy Jack underneath. And right now that's kind of how, you know, how I'm approaching this race from a betting standpoint, is keying my boy Jack underneath with the four or five, you know, horses
candidates.
Candidates. Yes, sir.
I love it. Doug Salvatore, everybody. You can follow Doug, Dougie Sal, on Twitter and commiserate with him on the Brownies, on the Pixies. Dougie, thanks.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, sir.
We'll talk next week. Doug Salvatore. Let's take our last break. And, in fact, yeah, real quick, maybe a short break is, and we'll get Jay Privman in here and get his initial impressions. Jay arriving yesterday and ready to pull the Privman magic on the Derby coverage, the long road Derby watch, and get some thoughts from Jay when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Churchill Downs, we are a week out, and in fact, a week from now, we'll have already run two races on Oaks Day, 10:30 post. Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Forum, the national correspondent, and is now on the ground and is getting ready for everything that will culminate a week from Saturday. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It was good seeing you bright and early this morning.
Absolutely, and I will get you Krispy Kremes tomorrow.
That's all right. The stuff you brought today was darn good. So Steve, for those of you who don't know, Steve is the is very generous in making sure that we're all going to have diabetes by the end of Derby Week every year by bringing in pastries every morning or donuts or something.
I do have to, when I go by Sullivan, I got to see if Winslow's has been reopened.
It is not. We've already done the research on that. Very disappointed.
All right. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, no shortage of new joints around here, boy, including the old favorites as well. So we'll deal with that over the weekend. Jay, some initial impressions as we await the West Coast players, major West Coast players, Justify working this morning for Baffert. We talked to Hammer a little bit ago, but here, Todd Pletcher in full flight with his quartet.
Yeah, I mean, he's had obviously a great spring. It's really come together for him when the four horses that all won final major preps all had works this morning. So it was pretty significant. You know, the Wood winner, the Florida Derby winner, the Arkansas Derby winner, and the Louisiana Derby winner. That's a nice quartet of races. As I've written in the racing forum, it's unprecedented that the trainers won all four of those races with four different horses in the same year. So he's got a nice lineup. I thought he had a good morning with his horses, and there was some stuff regarding Audible. I had a nice conversation with Javier Castellano over the agony he was, you know, the reasons for behind his decision to take him over Boltdoro, and also some stuff about a little further stuff about Audible that I don't think anybody's written yet. That's going to be in my story that I'm putting together right now, and it'll be online a little later regarding some stuff they've had to do with him. So you'll see that soon.
Very cool. Look forward to it. Some other impressions overall as you wade into the action here a week out.
No, it was just a nice morning out here. I'd like to hit the pause button on the way the weather was today. It was perfect conditions, and like I said, I thought all four of Pletcher's horses were good. Some maybe slightly better than others. I really like the Audible is a notoriously bad workhorse, and I know he kind of fooled a lot of people going into the Florida Derby because the reports were that he wasn't working all that well. But I thought he had a good morning today, and in particular, I just like the way he went out after the wire. I mean, he broke off at the half mile pole, and the final time that they're going to give him is a half, but he worked 5/8, even 6 furlongs with as strong as he was asked to go out after the wire. It wasn't like he was being pulled up and just sort of went out on his own. It was a proper extensive workout. It wasn't like a little half mile kick a horse over kind of breeze for his next start. These were serious works, even though if you look at it, that's the difference between like watching a work and hopefully people will be able to see these videos later. And just seeing a printed time, you see a printed time of a half mile, and you're like, oh, I didn't really do much. But if you actually see the work, you can see that this was an extensive, proper, we're going to run in the Derby at a mile and a quarter kind of a work.
And that, you know, the other work that had an element that probably required, you know, some observation was Malibu Moon, because he and his partner started out exceedingly slow, and then came downhill later, and that, you know, that was the early splits there were pedestrian, and they must have wanted him to work around the, you know, the second turn, and you know, those are the kinds of things that, as you say, watching them really makes a big difference. Jay,
I'm not, just for clarity's sake, I mean, Mike Welsh had Magnum Moon going off his first quarter, you know, fairly consistent with what Audible did. It was Noble Lindy who went off slower, at least on Mike's watch. So maybe there's a difference of opinion there. But I know in terms of what Mike had, you know, he had Noble Lindy as the one who went off the slowest of the four in his team drill.
I didn't see Noble Lindy because it went after I'd started the show. But
okay.
Yeah, so it was with Gary. I was with Gary, and he had maybe it just they worked from. I'm going to see what polls they worked from, maybe. But either way, I mean
definitely Vino Rosso blasted off the fastest of the four.
Yes.
That's for sure. But I know you had started your show at 9, and that's when that last work happened. I just wanted to say that, you know, in terms of approach, it was actually Noble Indy who of the four was given went off the easiest of that quartet of Pletcher workers this morning.
Nice. Well, the for those that missed this morning because they didn't get a chance to watch anything, James Scully did confirm that they will have the tape. It'll be posted, you know, as soon as they get the technical parts done. So the entire 1 hour, you know, plus the 15 minutes within the hour show that they're doing daily, you'll be able, and hopefully tomorrow morning, 8 to 9, you'll be, or 7 to 8, you'll be able to watch it live. Jay, is there any further Baffert interpretation in regards to him staying in California and more than just weather concerns and this and that? What's your read on the way Baffert has handled it this year?
Well, I mean, you know, he did the same thing last year with Abel Tasman. He didn't have a Derby horse last year, but I mean, he had Abel Tasman, and she shipped in on top of the race after doing all her training in California. And I think a lot of trainers have come to the conclusion, even Pletcher mentioned it this morning, it was convenient for him to have everybody here, but even he mentioned it, that a lot of trainers don't feel like you're going to run over the same track that you train on. and that there's not necessarily an advantage to being here. There might be in terms of acclimation of surroundings, but not in terms of race surface, because it can be different by race day. And I think with potential weather variables here at Churchill Downs, that's not something they knew they were going to need to worry about in California. There was that. And the other thing that came into play, I know, regarding the Baffert situation, is that Soleimani, after the Arkansas Derby, had the only way he was going to get out of there was either to van Churchill Downs, which they didn't want to do, or wait several days and then fly back to California, because the plane that went out right afterwards went to Florida with all the horses that were going to South Florida. And there wasn't a plane that was going to go to Kentucky. And the only way he was going to go to Kentucky straight after the race was via van. And they didn't want to do that to him. They wanted to bring him home. So now he was faced with a situation of, I don't want to van a horse to Churchill. I'm going to fly him home. Well, I'm not going to fly him home and then fly him straight back to Kentucky. So let's just do the training for both horses in California and give Soleimani a couple weeks between flights. So, I mean, that played into it as well. But I think this has been an evolving process over the years in terms of the approach. And since, last year, it certainly worked with Abel Tasman, and I think it was just easier to do it that way. But I know that the Soleimani situation was a small but significant aspect of why things played out the way they did this year.
Interesting. No, I appreciate it, because people are asking, and they...
That's why we answer.
For clarification. Exactly.
People have short-term memories, though. I mean, I'm sure people don't remember, though.
Yeah.
I did the exact same thing with Abel Tasman last year. I had somebody the other day say, when was the last time a horse won a Kentucky Derby, racing just 3 weeks before the Kentucky Derby? And I'm like, American Pharoah? I mean, it's not that long.
Oh, yeah.
There's real
good
institutional memory issues that go on in the sport sometimes.
Jay, the short strokes included already the couple of horses that got in late, and there's still a couple of horses that are hoping to get in, and most notably Blended Citizen for Doug O'Neill. Doug would really like to run, which I can understand. Instilled Regard, nice for Larry Best, with his first runners to get to a Derby.
He was desirous of getting in, and it worked out with the defections earlier this week of Gronkowski and Quip for Instilled Regard to be one of the horses who ended up getting into the race. So, he needs to step up his game, though. Let's be honest. I mean, he just doesn't, as Mike Watchmaker and I noted in our Derby Watch comments, I mean, both of our comments were sort of variations on the same theme, which is that this is the horse who just doesn't seem like he's stepped up his game since his really good effort in the Los Alamitos Cash Call Futurity, whereas others have gone forward from their end of two-year-old campaign form. He has yet to do it. Now maybe he will on Derby Day, but for me it's a big leap that he's gonna do it. He was certainly compromised by pace in the Santa Anita Derby. That didn't help him at all. It was just, he was up against it the way the race unfolded, but he was also up against it because he was chasing Justify and Moldoro. So that and he's going to see them again, plus several other real good ones in 8 days.
Yeah, plus another 17. Jay, it's going to be a great Derby week, and as always, glad you're here, and we look forward to tracking it until next week.
Thanks, Steve, and I'll look forward to the hot glaze tomorrow morning.
Look for Jay's piece. It sounds like there's a very juicy nugget about Audible. And as always, Jay gets Derby stories that are uncovered elsewhere. And that's Jay's got the pulse on all 20 horses and a few extras. It's been a fun week already. I mean, it flew by as always. It's always a blur here once we arrive. Good luck this weekend if you're going to play, and good luck today, Angel Arroyo, writing for us. Carlisle Bell, and wish partners Tony and Ed and Gary and everybody best of luck with Carlisle Bell. Fourth race today. Casey says he thought it was Thursday. Thanks to Scully and Grenig, Nick Tamaro, Jeff Franklin, Third Graph, Jay Pridman, Doug Salvatore, and Hammer. And Casey with another great week. We'll talk to you Monday. We'll be doing plenty of tweeting. We'll send out as much information as we can come across. Just sent a link on XBTV to the Justify work, which very, very nice. Nice gallop out. When we talk to you Monday, it'll really be Derby week, no matter when you switch the clock on. Good luck, everybody. Talk to you Monday.
Latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Hey folks, Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Marilyn for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.